Jamie is available to speak to us with his business commentary hat on. Morning, Jamie.
Morning, Frank.
Jamie, you're the sort of man who would have been, I suppose, on every breath of the Chancellor yesterday. Or are you the sort of guy who sort of glazes over whenever there's a budget coming out of Westminster?
Well, it's far less interesting than in previous years. I mean, in a sense, there's quite obvious that the Chancellor, like previous Chancellor, like recent, like his predecessor, George Osborne, hadn't very much to give away. In fact, the story was more of austerity than a handout. So in that sense, there were very few goodies expected, and indeed, he lived up to or lived down to that expectation. Yeah, we're getting more money, but really, when you look at it in the round, in fact, Northern Ireland and day-to-day spending in the next couple of years will be no better off. In fact, in reality, slightly worse off. So, I mean, there's been a lot of attention focused on the 660 million, but if you look at the fine print, you'll see that really we haven't done that well.
And even with this city deal, do you see pluses in this?
Well, I do, because city deals are great, but they you sort of have to understand the way that powers are allocated to regions. Northern Ireland, of course, is enormous power, but it's concentrated in Stormont. We can pass laws. I mean, so if you look at, say, somewhere like a region of England, maybe of equivalent size, it wouldn't have half the control that Northern Ireland has. But then, by contrast, cities across the water, greater metropolitan areas, will have quite a lot of power. And so what I would ask, and what I would, you know, if you could put this to Neil McAllister, I mean, what I would like to know is the degree to which they would be able to benefit from powers. Would they, from the offer of more money and support of one kind or another? Because, for instance, last year, the former minister, Paul Given, held back regeneration powers, which the councils thought they were going to get. So, in other words, they stay in Stormont, which, of course, means they're not used at all. So, what, unlike maybe a similar city across the water, for instance, Belfast City Council has absolutely no control over the transport.
Yeah, just let me stop you there, Jimmy, because the person you're making reference to is on the other line. Let me put it to the Lord Mayor in relation to where this power is going to come from to control any of this money. Nuala McAllister is the Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Jimmy.
Yeah, how would you answer Jimmy's question there, Nuala?
So I only heard the last 30 seconds or so of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let Jimmy ask the question again. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Right. The concern I would have about the city deal for Belfast, which in theory is an excellent idea, is that Belfast is not set up to use these powers, that Belfast really has very limited control. I mean, we all know that, of course, it's got some measure of control over planning, but generally speaking, it's waste disposal, it's collecting the bins, it's looking after the parks. Belfast is a very much constrained authority. That's in contrast to, let's say, Greater Manchester, which would have fairly substantial powers. And for instance, to drill down into particular, you know, Belfast City Council has absolutely no control over the transport system. So if it wanted to invest in a city deal in more transport, it would have to work through TransLink. If Belfast wanted to invest more in, for instance, in the education system, well, again, it doesn't control the schools, or it doesn't control the further education colleges. So, you know, if Belfast, in a sense, got a city deal, would it have the apparatus to be able to make the changes that it would want? And lastly, you know, famously, you as a council wanted regeneration powers, and Paul Given denied them to you. And so I come back to this point. Could you use the powers that a city deal would give you?
Yeah, absolutely. I do believe that this will give us the leverage. You know, we know this will give us the leverage for those powers, for example, that you just mentioned, regeneration. And we were absolutely disappointed that we didn't get those. And it was a right shame. And we have massive, ambitious plans for Belfast. And what we've already been doing with around the city deal, we've been having the conversation with our partners and our stakeholders to get them to also buy into it. Because the important element here is that the city deal will only work if we have that buy-in from our partners along with the private sector. And what that does is it gives us leverage to work with those departments. But what will make it even better is obviously if we have that function and executive to do so. But I do believe that this is the key element that we have been missing in Belfast City Council, is to have that control and leverage to be able to set out those ambitious plans and prioritise the fast-tracking of our economy here.
But do you really believe that you can follow through on that, Lord Mayor?
No, absolutely. I have no reason to see why we can't follow through on that. Now, Belfast City Council has already shown quite a lot of the leadership when it comes to actually prioritising what we need and want for our city. And we've already been working with the councils around our periphery, because remember, this isn't just about Belfast City Council, it's about the Greater Belfast region. And we do think that we actually have the leadership and the competence to actually influence, and not just influence, but actually carry out what we see as an ambitious plan for the economy around infrastructure, around innovation and around skills.
Yeah, because a deal's a deal. It's not a grant. You've got to do the city's got to do their bit in this.
Absolutely. It's not it's not a handout, as you would say. It's money to invest. It's money that actually you want to see grow. And that's why it's important that if we get this city deal, that we put in the correct plans, we put in ambitious plans, and we do have that buy-in from the private sector, because, you know, without that, these city deals won't be successful. And we've already been doing this behind the scenes now in Belfast City Council.
Do you not feel maybe that Derry would have been better positioned to avail of a deal like this than Belfast? If there's only one city getting it, would Derry not have been at this moment in time better placed for this initiative?
Look, I don't believe that's what happened yesterday. I don't believe that Derry were eliminated from the conversation. What the Chancellor actually said is we're going to start the conversation around city deals with the negotiations on Belfast. That does not exclude Derry from getting a city deal in the future, so they need to keep moving forward with that. But Belfast is the capital of Northern Ireland. There are people who come into Belfast for employment and jobs. They travel in every day, and we need to ensure that we can have a thriving economy here in Belfast. We need to ensure that we can be the economic driver for the entire region. But of course, it would be ideal that we could have two city deals at the same time. Who's to say that absolutely will not happen? We just need to make sure that for Belfast, for the greater Belfast area, that we push forward and that Derry can continue the work, because they've already done quite a lot of work as well around our city deal, and they can continue with that as well. But there is no reason as to why we should stop now. It really gives us the leverage to move forward much quicker and to get our ambitious plans in place.
Okay, Lord Mayor, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jamie, just a summing up of what the Lord Mayor said in reply to you.
Well, I would still question the degree to which the City Council could use these powers, because it would have to, in the case of, for instance, the transport, negotiate with Translink. So you don't have the same scope that you would have across the water. But, you know, you wouldn't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. Any form of help for the city, I'm sure if there was a willingness all round to make it work, you could certainly achieve quite a lot. So I'm not knocking the idea of a city deal. It's just much more difficult in Northern Ireland than it would be perhaps in for a city across the water.
Okay, Jamie, thank you. Glyn Roberts always has his eye on initiatives, especially when they include something like a budget or a chancellor. He's with Retail NI. Glyn, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Glyn, I am very good. Are you jumping for joy that Belfast is part of this latest plan, or do you see the bigger picture across Northern Ireland?
Well, I think it's a very positive development. It's something that Retail and I have championed consistently. We were at Westminster a few weeks ago with our colleagues, Hospitality Ulster, and that was the central message that we had for MPs and members of the House of Lords, that Belfast and indeed Derry, Londonderry, we need city deals. You know, Northern Ireland is the only part of the UK that doesn't have city deals. And I wouldn't be maybe as pessimistic as Jamie would be, because I do think that Belfast has huge potential. And this is about getting additional powers so that they can put a programme investment across infrastructure, innovation and skills. And from a retail perspective, it's about them having greater powers to transform Belfast City Centre and indeed our high streets throughout the city, because we do have a serious problem of dereliction. We do have a serious problem of shop vacancies. I think the last figure was somewhere in the region of about 14-15%. in relation to shop vacancies in Belfast City Centre. So we have a lot of work to do, and I think that this is an idea that needs to happen, and I think we welcome the fact that the Chancellor has given the green light for the negotiations to begin.
And you're confident it can be done from a council perspective?
I do. I mean, I think I would echo the previous comments that it was a mistake not to give the councils regeneration powers, because what is the point of giving our 11 councils power over economic development, power over planning, but not give them power over regeneration? So I would hope that if we have a future executive, that will be something that they will pass down to the 11 councils as soon as possible. But, you know, I think this is the start of the negotiation process. And, you know, the proposals that Belfast is putting forward, it's not just about the Belfast City Council area. It actually covers a number of the neighbouring councils in Antrim and Ards and Lisburn, Mid and East Antrim, Newry and Mourne as well. So it is actually about ensuring that, if you like, that half of Northern Ireland is actually able to grow, to move forward, and to ensure that there is a big economic game changer in place. What I would say is disappointing. I'm at a loss why Derry, Londonderry wasn't included in this. I would echo the points that the Lord Mayor making, saying that it's not the end of the road for them, by no means. But I think it is disappointing because, you know, there is a serious problem in the northwest in terms of dereliction. We do need to give a greater priority to economic development into places like Derry and Strabane. So I hope that Derry will be part of that conversation very soon.
Okay, Glyn, thank you very much. Glyn Roberts, Retail NI. And finally, Jamie, there's a text from a lady called Madeline, and she says, Jamie De Largey sounds like the sort of man who would look every gift horse in the mouth.
That's very fair. No.
It's your honesty that makes you the gentleman you are, Mr. De Largey.
Well, you know, I definitely am a more of a glass half empty type of guy.
There's you and Alex Kane. You both admit that. Alex doesn't believe the glass ever gets beyond 50%. Your glass is almost dry.
Well, you know, yes, I did. But I just want to, my function, I suppose, is a bit of a counterpoint. So when everyone else is selling you a very positive message, I sort of feel it my duty, my bounden duty, just to point out, you know, there are a few hitches, and, you know, even though, you know, we seem to be getting lots of money, lots of powers, lots of this, lots of that, actually, it's worth pointing out that it's not as golden, as bright a new dawn as people might be led to believe. So no, but I generally there are some interesting things in this budget, for instance, and I for instance, the stamp duty, it's good, and it's going to save people, some people, first time buyers, quite a bit of money. So
much advantage in Northern Ireland. We don't have stamp duty to 125 grand. So is it much advantage to a first time buyer?
And that's the same. That is, yes, that's the same across the water. So houses being that much cheaper, yes, it won't benefit so many people. But if you're buying a house, if let's say a couple were managed to scrabble together and they were buying a house at 175,000, they would save £1,000. You know, it's not ridiculous amount of, you know, it's not just for people in the south of England. It will help, but it is true, it's for those who would be buying probably more expensive first time properties than the average, if you like. But it's good. And the look at the VAT and APD for tourism, that's good, because the south has a huge advantage on us in those areas. So if we come back with a positive one on VAT, so that we could reduce it to the level perhaps in the south, 9% on VAT on tourism, and basically abolish APD. I mean, there could be something in this for Northern Ireland that would be a benefit in the long term. All right,
Jamie, you're on a positive roll. We'll leave it there. Thank you. A business correspondent, business commentator, Jamie De Largey. It's 9:25.